Welcome, everyone, to another show of RP Plus on CKLN 88.1 FM. RP Plus stands for Region Park Plus, a spoken word youth show about issues related to Region Park and other urban communities. I'm the host for today's show, Vin Duong. Last Friday, August the 28th, there were three separate incidents of stabbings involving youth. One incident, which was widely covered in the media, involved a 15-year-old youth who was stabbed just outside the Eaton Center. That stabbing last Friday mirrors a similar incident that occurred on April 17th of this very same year. On that date, Dwayne Robotham, a popular and well-liked youth from the Region Park community, was hanging with his friends out at Young and Dundas when a tragic stabbing incident occurred. Dwayne's last minute in this world was witnessed by a youth who wishes to remain anonymous. He did feel it was important, though, to relate his experience to us in a pre-recorded interview. The following interview was recorded on April 22nd, 5 days after Dwayne's death.
Decided for store to go. Me and my brother went down there. We went inside of a store, and we're in there for about 30 seconds. My brother said, "Yo, there's a commotion outside." So I turn around and I walk, and I'm looking at the window now, looking, and I'm seeing people like walking out fast and like they're moving because like there's a stir. So me being curious and everything, open the door now to look what was going on. What I saw was some people were leaning up against the wall and they're fighting. They're like pushing against each other and everything. And I'm like, well, you know, they're like, I'm hearing somebody, yo, get the knife, get the knife. So I'm like really interested in what's going on. I'm staying the same place where I am, though. And I see this knife fly in the middle of the street. Like somebody flung it. And it bounced off a car and it fell on the ground. I don't know who threw it from what. I just saw a knife. I just came out. There was all this commotion. I saw a knife fly by and hit a car and landed on the ground. Somebody running over and picking it up. Nothing was happening, like, you know, this commotion was still there, but everybody's running in the crowd, and, like, I didn't see nothing. But I saw somebody walked into the clearing, this guy, Dwayne. He walked over, and he stood kind of in the way that he's facing me. And he stopped, and he kind of, like, you know, shook his head sideways, kind of, like, you know, twisted his head, and lifted his shirt over his head. Right, but it was when he took it over his head, the shirt was still on his arm. He just kind of pulled it from the back and pulled it, and it was on his arm. He turned around. That's when I saw there was stab wounds in his back, bleeding. There was a lot of blood, and he's bleeding. And I looked at him, and I was like, "You're bridging, man. You're bleeding." Like it was something that just hit me. I never saw somebody bleed as much as I saw him bleeding, and he was walking. He walked to one side away from me. To the crowd, and the crowd were all scared and everything, and they screamed, and they're like, you know, their emotion was showing. And he turned back around and faced me and walked towards me, kind of like in a way. And I was frozen, I couldn't move. The first time ever in my life, I was ever so scared in my life. I was scared, I didn't know what to do. He's standing there, and he's like, he's walking, and the blood is just gushing out. He said to himself that his lungs were pierced, and every time he was talking, he would. By himself, spit the blood out of his mouth, right? And he closed his eyes, and he started to breathe, and I was watching him, and I was, like, shaking my head in my mind, because it's like I was on the same level as him. Just finding out that I got stabbed, I'm going to try and get control first. That's what he was living on. And I looked at it, and I was like, yeah, you know, every movement that he was doing would probably be the same movements I would be doing after I know that I got stabbed, because the way that his back was all stabbed up, he wasn't expecting it. Right? This person put a lot of holes in his back. If you saw somebody coming at you with a knife, you're likely to go away and, you know, not have any big marks or nothing, because the person is in front of you coming at you, right? Because you're going to fight him off, block whatever, and try to run, whatever. He wasn't expecting nothing, and it came from his back. Every hole that you saw was in his back. I saw it when he was inhaling and exhaling. Like, his lung was pierced in a way that it pushed the blood out of his back. And it was so graphic, like I have a movie virtually in my head of what I could show people what I saw. But, you know, I don't need to fuck up people's life like that. Anyways, this is just something that's just going to stick in my head for the rest of my life, what I saw. It was like he taught me something. I never knew who he was, but it's like he taught me something in that 7 minutes that I knew him. By the time the security and everybody was there and everything, you know, they're scared. They didn't know what to do. I told him to make him lie down on his back and hold the pressure, right? And they did that. And he was lying there for a pretty long time, and I was just standing over him, and I'm watching him. A lot of people were around now, like some of his friends, and, you know, the police is coming now, and, you know, everybody's, like, screaming, and they can't believe what they're seeing because it was such a graphic scene or a horrific scene. And everybody's looking at me, and, like, I didn't know what to do. I just had all this anger inside of me and adrenaline, and I didn't know where to put it. So I said, yo, let me just stay here and watch him. And he's looking in my eyes while he's lying on the ground and they're holding the pressure down. And there's somebody in front of him holding him, like, you know, talking to him. And that guy is one of the strong, like, I know this person. I've been downtown, like, for years. I've been coming down and everything, you know. So it's like, you know, your living room. You just go in your living room because you feel comfortable with it every now and then. Anyways, it's like, you know, this guy I know for a long time, and he was strong in my mind, you know, he was physically strong, and he started crying, like, tears were coming down his eye, and it's like, the strongest man that day I saw, like, was so upset that they started shedding tears. I wanted to shed tears, I don't know why I didn't, I guess, you know, whatever, you know, I'm going through pain too. And just the way that I saw how he got stabbed, how he was lying there, and how he was trying to focus, that affected me, because it's like, he was focusing so, it's like anybody would focus like that. You know, you knew you got hurt. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what the future is going to bring for you. You're going to try and be calm as much as you can. I stayed with him until he tried to even tell me his mom, the number he was trying to say. You know, he was calm and everything. And everybody was like, you know, do this for us, Dwayne, do this for us. You know, stay alive and whatever. And he's just lying there, and it's like he's looking around, and he caught my eye. Like, we just connected, and he said this number, 867, right? And, like, I was scared to take that from him. Like, he said it to me, and I was, like, looking around. I was like, you know, who's he? No. You know, I never knew him. I didn't know who he was from before and everything. And he's saying this number, and then he tried to say it again, and somebody picked it up and go, you want me to, okay, I'll call that number. And the person's beside me, but I'm still looking at him and everything, and it's like I could still see him looking at me. Anyways, the ambulance came 7 minutes, I could say. The ambulance came, and, you know, he went into he was lying on his back on the stretcher, and he didn't feel like lying on his back, and he was very, you know, like, yo, I don't want to lie on my back. He was calm, and they're like, well, you have to, and he was ready in the rotation of moving, and he's like, you have to, and he's like, okay, and then he lied back down, like, he showed so much liveliness, like, he was going to live, like, I didn't, you know, he's all right, he's going to be all right. He went in the ambulance, took him to St. Michael's, heard he died. I stayed in that place, and I wore my glasses that night, you know, like, it was late before I came home here. He's like, I was just standing there, you know, where he died, and there was blood there, and, you know, I left. I came here, I went back down, and it's like, I see the forensic, and I didn't understand, what the fuck is the forensic doing there? He didn't die. This is before I knew he died. I went up, and I saw some of his friends and his, you know, all these people were at the Eaton Center. They even locked down the Eaton Center, and, you know, I asked one of the guys that was there prior, you know, what happened? You know, I felt like an outsider, but he told me. He said he passed away. His heart couldn't take it anymore. And in that 7 minutes was when I knew that guy's whole life because of the way that he was. He was not a bad person. I couldn't see him as a bad person. If he was, he had morals. Like, he was brought up right. You know, the way he looked at me and he nodded, and I was like, yo, you know, the way I was trying to talk to him in my own little way, he was giving me back information, and he didn't even have to say a word, really. I just knew he was a good kid. And it's the same way. I wouldn't want to see him. I don't know. He just went to that place that day just to go buy some Jordans. A pair of Jordans. He died in the brand new pair of Jordans he went down there and bought. Because somebody walked by and bounced into him. You know, little things like these are going to cause war and arguments. You know, kill somebody. Why? He's never going to be alive to go and buy an next pair of shoe if it comes to that. You know, but it's like, he passed and I saw that, you know, it's like a message to me. Alright, and I'm going to keep it in my mind for the rest of my life. Alright, and I just feel sorry for his moms because, you know, like, more than picking up the knife nowadays, I can't even walk with a knife no more. Used to. But that's like a message. He showed me something different, you know? So I don't really want to walk downtown with my back. I was looking behind my back all the time because he didn't expect that. And that scares you.
Dwayne died a senseless death that day. Even to this day, I don't know the complete details of his death. What I do know is, earlier that day, Dwayne got into a heated argument with another youth. It is not clear to me whether Dwayne knew him or not. All I know is that the youth returned later with a knife and stabbed Dwayne several times in the back. When I heard of Dwayne's death in my school, I'm like, Dwayne? Who's Dwayne? I didn't really care at that time, but when I saw his picture, I'm like, I know that guy. He used to go to my elementary school, and what a coincidence. I'm going to the same high school as he does. At that very moment, I felt this pain, sorrow feeling in me. I didn't really know the guy. Like, I would see him in the hallway sometimes, and he would walk past me, and I would walk past him, and he'll be with his friends, and I'll be with my own friends. So, and we never really talked, so I don't even know this guy, but I still felt this sorrow, pain feeling of loss in me. So in memory of Dwayne Robotham, I would like to have a moment of silence, please. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. Well, for now, I would like to say that, Dwayne, I feel really sorry for you, and I just don't know how your family can take it, because I don't hardly knew you, and I'm feeling this sorrow pain in me. I just can't imagine how your family would react to this.
Second chances. If wishes come true, can I ask you if your plans did? Ziggy's always dreaming, unrealized life. When your breath caught short and the blade slashed thrice, it is finished in our terms, yearning for your presence. If life is the teacher, the heart of the life, the heart of the lesson to be learned, comprehended it, and in prematurity, sensitized to surprise, it seems that nothing could even floor me anymore. I saw if I'm thinking positively, you're on the other side, maybe you can be a God within me, giving me precise insight, vision, precision, sharp shooting on the truth. We got to make the right decisions, though it's hard sometimes when we're living in this madness. I'll keep my eyes on the prize and try to see above the sadness.
That was Cycle of Life by Motion. I'm Vin Duong, and we're back with RP Plus. Each year of youth are victims of peer violence. Many of them, like Dwayne, will never return to their families or to their communities. Some of them, if they are lucky, will return with injuries and mental scars that, in time, we hope will heal. Earlier, I mentioned that three youths were stabbed in three separate incidents on Friday, August the 28th. With me in the studio right now is Andre Walsh. I know Andre personally. He used to live in Regent Park and just recently moved to another community. We spent this summer working together in a community project. But the reason why I've asked Andre here today is because he, along with his uncle, was one of the youths who was stabbed on that Friday. So, hello, Andre. So, how are you feeling? How's your uncle?
Well, I'm all right, you know. My uncle's doing better than me. He's good. He came out of a minor injury. It was a stab wound, but it wasn't as deep as mine's, and it wasn't as extensive because he's a kind of chunky guy, and it didn't cut too deep into him. So he's all right, but I'm feeling good.
Where did you get stabbed exactly, anyways? Like what body parts?
I got stabbed in my right lower back, which punctured one of my lungs, and came about a couple centimeters from my liver. So I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. What happened was my lung collapsed, and they had to put a tube in me to suck out the blood out of the lung. So that's basically how they got where the location was.
Can you tell us a little bit about what happened that day? Like, why'd you get stabbed?
It kind of went like this. I was walking in the neighborhood, and some guys that don't really take a liking to me around that neighborhood, I guess tempers were flaring that day. Something must have happened. They came up to me, and they were, they were angry at me for whatever reason. And they just came to me and just started, you know, trying to fight me. And I'm trying to fight these three guys. I was trying to fight them all off of me, right? And I was by myself, and I'm trying to fight them off of me. So I go home now, and my mom sees that I'm angry, and she wants to call the police and that kind of stuff. But I told her no, because from what I know, the police is not going to do nothing. You have to take some notes, right? Then my uncle came, and my uncle's the type of guy, he wanted to go talk to the guy's parents, right? Because I knew where one of the guys lived, and he wanted to go talk to his parents. So we're going to talk to his parents now, and before we get to his house, we see the guys that jumped me, right? So my uncle, we decided to go talk to them. So we went to go talk to them, but I guess they wanted to fight, right? So they're fighting. All right, my uncle asked him, you know, why are you picking on my nephew? And they had no reply. Just foul words started spewing, and I know one of the guys came at me, and I punched him, and he fell on the ground, and then there was another guy that came at me and hit me, and then he started backing up. So the shuffle and the wrestling carried out into the street, and we were wrestling. And then there was another guy there, and I turned around and I saw the guy, but I didn't see the knife. And I ended up turning back to the first guy that I was fighting, and I'm fighting him, and I just felt the stab in my back. It felt like, I don't know, it felt like a very hard punch if you're not expecting a stab, you know? And he actually got me two times, but I only felt it once. That's pretty much what happened.
So how old were these youths, do you know?
Between 17 and 19. Mm-hmm. 17, 19.
They stabbed you with your uncle there, huh?
Yeah, because I kind of figured that there was an older guy there. You know, they'd have a little bit of respect, I guess, or even some fear, but I guess not.
How often do you think these kind of incidents happen? Did these kind of thing happen when you lived in Regent Park?
No. Mm-mm. Incidents started occurring with me ever since I moved to Flemington Park. And
that's As a community, what do you think we could do to stop these kind of tragic incidents from happening?
I guess people need to become aware. People need to become aware of what's going on in the community instead of being it's pure ignorance that brought about this whole thing.
Do you fear that something like this could happen to you again? Will you feel safe in the community you're living in?
Nah, I don't feel safe at all. I feel that.
You think you'll move?
Yeah, I will move. I will move. I feel that. If I don't move, it'll just keep happening until somebody dies or somebody really gets hurt worse than me.
Well, I'm going to turn back to the subject of Dwayne. For those people who have just joined us, Dwayne Wolpetham is a youth from the Regent Park community who was killed in a senseless stabbing incident at Dundas and Young 5 months ago. Today I'm speaking with Andre Walsh, who was stabbed last Friday for no apparent reason, except that he was a Regent Park boy who moved to another community. Andre, did you know Dwayne?
Yeah, actually, Dwayne was a very close personal friend.
What would you like to know, to tell people about Dwayne?
Dwayne was one of the most friendly guys and big-hearted guys you could ever meet.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe that happened to him, huh?
Yeah, he was like a big brother to me. Even though we were the same age, he was always bigger than me.
Thank you, Andre, for sharing your experience with us. I hope you fully recover soon.
Yeah.
On Friday, September 11th at Parliament Street Library, iVideo will be holding a fundraiser screening featuring 15 Super 8 films that was produced by youth in the Regent Park area. The event is in collaboration with the 3-Minute Rockstar Project. The event will be hosted by Now Magazine film critics and screenwriters Cameron Bailey and CBC television producer Cam Rao, and also feature the release of Urban Invasion, a youth-produced video about Toronto's underground hip-hop culture. Urban Invasion is one of two video productions that will be screened at this year's Atlantic Film Festival in Halifax, Nova Scotia. The goal of the fundraiser is to send a delegation of Regent Park youth from iVideo to Halifax so they could be present at their screening. If you're interested in attending the iVideo screening, there will be a 6:30 p.m. showing and an 8:30 p.m. showing. Once again, that's Friday, September 11th, 1998 at the Parliament Street Library located at 269 Girard Street East on the southwest corner of Parliament and Girard. This is a pay what you can event. If you are unable to attend, send your money instead by calling the Regent Park Focus Community Media Arts Program at 863-1074. That's 863-1074. RP Plus is brought to you by the Regent Park Focus Community Coalition, the home of Catch the Flavor newspaper and iVideo Youth Productions. That show was produced in partnership with CKLN 88.1 FM Toronto and the Late Law Foundation. Technical support was provided by Michelle Cho, and the pre-tape piece were produced by Regent Park members Khalif Murphy and Michelle Cho. I'm sorry for talking fast, but our time has run out, so I'm signing off with If You Were Mine by Crystal Sahagin coming at you. Till next time, bye y'all.
That I will love you.